This presentation by Miriam Salpeter, titled Learn to Leverage Social Media to Enhance Your Career, was recorded on 7 May 2012 at the 65th CFA Institute Annual Conference.
So before we get started, although I have these lights in my face, it'll be a little hard to see, but can you tell me who here by a show of hands is using LinkedIn in that you have a LinkedIn profile? So pretty much everyone, mostly everyone. How about Twitter? Who is using Twitter? Okay, a couple, a bunch. Good, terrific. And how about who here has thought about using Facebook professionally, not just to keep track of your kids, but you're using it actually professionally? Excellent, a couple of people. And how about the newest big network, Google+? Who here is on Google+? A couple. Okay. Well, I hope by the end of my talk, some of you will be inspired to try some networks you haven't yet started on. But let's get started. I have a lot of information to share with you today. So the way that I'm going to cover using social networking for your career is in a couple of different areas, and this is how I'm going to break it down. We're going to talk about how important is social media as a channel to be found and to find job leads. And for those of you who haven't looked for a job in a while, you might be surprised at how important it has become. We'll talk about what roles at investment firms benefit most from understanding and using social media, and there are several that are very typical, and then ways that you can think about expanding out how you can use it even if you're not in those roles. And then finally, we'll talk most significantly, we'll talk about how to brand and differentiate yourself through social media channels and what are the risks. So who here, before you meet with someone, will go to Google or another search engine and check them out online? Raise your hand. A lot of you. As you can see here, the statistic is that 40% of people, before they meet with you, either professionally or even personally, will go to Google, maybe they'll look for you on Facebook or on LinkedIn, and see what there is about you. It's important to keep that in mind. I think 40% might even be kind of a low statistic. It might depend. But the fact is, if someone's going and searching for you and they aren't finding something, you are like the proverbial tree in the forest that falls, but no one is there to hear. You do not want to be that tree. You don't want to be making noise, demonstrating your expertise, and showcasing what you know, and having nobody know about it. So you want to remember, you don't want to be the tree falling in the forest. A couple of interesting statistics from JobVite, and I want to point out that all of the statistics and resources are available online for you to click through directly, and there's a link that I'll show at the end of the presentation. So you can read more about any of these research studies. 89% of U.S. companies will use social media to recruit and hire people, 89%. And again, I think that probably could be a little lower than it actually the reality, but the JobVite study says 89%. Two-thirds of U.S. companies have successfully hired using social networking, and companies are spending a great deal of time, effort, energy, and most importantly, money to get out on these networks and to engage and interact with people. So two-thirds have successfully hired using social networks. In that same JobVite study, of 800 U.S. respondents asked about the hiring tools they use, 87% of hiring managers were using LinkedIn, 55% were using Facebook, and 47% mentioned Twitter. Is anybody surprised about that? When I first saw that, honestly, I was a little surprised at how high the Twitter number was. But as a big fan of Twitter, I was glad to see it. When JobVite asked job seekers, people who agreed that social media had helped them land their current opportunity, the job seeker said, and obviously there was some overlap because we have numbers people in the audience, there was overlap, this doesn't add up to 100, but 78% of job seekers said Facebook was what connected them to the opportunity that they currently have. 40% mentioned LinkedIn, and 42% said Twitter. Again, possibly a little surprising, the low number that is related to LinkedIn. But I think that the high number related to Facebook is not so surprising, because Facebook is essentially just the extension of old-fashioned networking. Who here remembers before social networks existed, right? In the old days, you actually talked to people in person. You talked to your neighbors, you talked to your old friends, you talked to people you grew up with, and Facebook is just the natural digital extension of that. It's important to keep in mind, if you're thinking about enhancing your career or moving to another opportunity, the old-fashioned way of finding a job was that you would apply for a position. You would identify a job and you would apply for it. That's what we call a push-out technique. You push out your information to somebody and therefore you've applied. The new way of engaging and interacting with potential opportunities is what I call a magnetic attraction technique. And what that is that you demonstrate your expertise using these online tools and therefore attract people to you. So instead of you actually applying for every job, you could potentially be in the position of having somebody say, wow, I follow you on Twitter and I'm really impressed with what you have to say. Would you be interested in learning more about this opportunity? So it's a magnetic attraction and it's a way of reversing the job search process, and I'd like for all of you to think about how you can do this for yourselves. I promised to mention a couple of ways to use social media to find opportunities. There are certainly many ways to do that. Is anyone here familiar with the fact that LinkedIn posts jobs? Maybe you've posted a job yourself or you've looked for a job. LinkedIn's job search tool is really useful, very engaging. It when you go to search a job on LinkedIn, all you need to do is go to the top toolbar, which I have illustrated here. This is part of the top toolbar on LinkedIn. And you click on the Jobs tab and you drop down to Find Jobs. When you do that, you can see who you're connected to via LinkedIn at that company, and then maybe you have an in at an organization. So definitely LinkedIn Jobs is a great way to source specific opportunities when you are ready to do that. Twitter also has a number of different ways that you can either use to hire people. You want to push out information via Twitter, or you want to actually see if there are any jobs being posted in your that would be of interest to you. And these three Twitter handles, that's another way of saying Twitter names, are a couple of companies that have tapped into using Twitter to use kind of as essentially a Twitter job board. And so these tools, JobShouts, Tweet My Jobs, and Twit Job Search would be ones you'd want to check out if you were interested in actually finding specific positions listed on Twitter. This is one of the most important slides and one of the most important things I hope that you'll come away with today after this talk. Using social media is a way to write your own story. I don't know about you, but sometimes if you're with a friend and something happens to the two of you, and then you're going to tell a third friend, or maybe you're in a group at dinner and you're talking about what happened, but the friend is telling the story, doesn't that friend always make him or herself the hero and forget all the great stuff you did? Maybe they're not telling the story that you would tell, right? If you're not using social media, you're potentially letting someone else tell your story. And that's what these two pictures represent. There are two online profiles that you have. One online profile is what we call a digital footprint. It's where you've stomped your foot in the sand, or in this case, in the digital sand. This is what you want people to know about you, what you are telling them, and what you control, the information that you're putting out there. That's your digital footprint. You also potentially have what's known as a digital shadow. A digital shadow is what's out there that you don't control. This is information that someone else has incorporated about you online. It could be as benign as possibly the charity golf tournament you participated in and made it into a paper or onto an online site. Or, as we'll talk about later, it could be a little bit more menacing. So you always want to think about that you want to make sure that you are controlling your online presence and you are not letting someone else take control of what people are finding out about you. The best way to do that is not only using social media tools, but to connect and anchor your social media use via a website, which is generally known in the biz as yourname.com. I call it a social resume. It's where you put information about yourself, even if you're not currently looking for a job, but if your name is Miriam Salpeter, and someone Googles Miriam Salpeter, and you have miriamsalpeter.com, that site is going to come up, and that's likely what they're going to click on. So you want to think about how you can make sure to be in control about what people are finding out about you online. So what roles at investment firms will benefit most from understanding social media as a marketable skill? I loved this quote. This is from the Financial Services Social Media 2012 study conducted by Change Sciences. Again, you'll have access to some of this study if you click through to some of the resources. Take a look at that quote. Essentially, what is that saying? It's saying that for an organization, neglecting to be proactive online could be considered at best out of touch and at worst untrustworthy. Now, I'd like you to consider something that we in the career space talk about a lot, that you want to think of yourself as a company of one. We refer to that as a personal brand. Whether or not you like the concept of being a personal brand, like you are Coca-Cola, but just you, right? Whether or not you agree with that, the fact is that this information is similar for individuals. If someone goes and Googles your name because they're going to meet you, they're thinking of hiring you, and they don't find anything, at best, they're wondering why, and at worst, they're thinking, well, who is this person? Maybe this person is untrustworthy. Financial and investment firms are using social media in a variety of ways. Public relations, obviously, is one obvious way that companies can use social media. Any kind of marketing, clearly educating clients, connecting with them where they are and letting them know information that they need to know about your company or about your what services you provide. And certainly customer service is a really important area that is turning to social media. We all know that people, when they have a beef with an organization, say, for example, a bank, they might go to Twitter and use that company's Twitter name and let that company know that they're unhappy. That company, if they're smart, will be monitoring those mentions and will address that person's concern immediately. And more often than not, when that does happen, the person goes away happy and there's a general good feeling that their concerns were handled. The Change Science study that I sourced before mentioned several companies. These are just the top several in terms of the best use from financial firms. Anybody here work in any of these firms? No? Okay. Well, what I would suggest is that you check these out. You go to the resources, see the other firms, what they're doing, see what kind of presence they have, how they interact, how they engage, and learn a thing or two about ways that you as either an individual or as a representative of your organization could consider engaging online via social media. But most important of all, and I'm hoping that what most of you are interested in or what you came here to learn, is how can you brand and differentiate yourself via social media, and what are the risks? And of course, we don't want to ignore the fact that we know that your industry is highly regulated. Okay? Many of your firms probably have hesitated to jump into social media because of the regulations, and maybe they're a little confusing. However, I don't know if any of the rest of you took the shuttle over here today, and I'm not sure if there were the same videos playing on all the shuttles, but something that came up in the video presentation on the shuttle today struck me as relevant for my talk today. And what it said is uncertainty equals opportunities missed. And I thought, wow, that's a great quote. I'm going to write that one down. Uncertainty equals opportunities missed. So don't let uncertainty about regulatory issues prevent you or your organization from jumping into using social media. Clearly, many of these other firms and organizations are using it. They're using it well. They're being noted as being successful using it. So while that's a risk, and I have some resources in the resource list about how to address that, that's something that you want to make sure that you're not letting that hold you up. The most important risk I like to think about is the risk of being that proverbial tree in the forest, that falls and no one hears. The fact is, if you do not already have a strong online presence, if you haven't already done some work online to get your name out there and to demonstrate your expertise, it's very easy for someone who's disgruntled and a little bit savvy online to get online and post something about you that is unfavorable. Maybe a nasty comment or some kind of negative rant questioning your integrity or your competence. This has happened to many people. Does anyone know anybody who's had that happen to them? Okay, that's when it's too late to get started. That's when it's difficult to overcome the fact that when somebody Googles that person's name, what they're going to find is this negative rant or something that is going to put into question what it is they know and their capability to help somebody, especially in the kind of work that you are doing. So you want to think, when I think about the risks of social media, of using social media, I think the risk is more in not using social media. Because again, when you're not creating an online presence yourself, what you're doing is you're not driving your career bus. You are essentially handing over the keys to someone else and saying, go ahead, take me wherever you want me to go, right? And none of us here, I used to work on Wall Street, and I know none of us here are interested in having someone else take the keys to our career. It's not just all about protecting your reputation, though. There is an ROI potential for using social media. And I liked this quote that talks about that advisors who use social media reported greater growth in revenue, assets, and clients than those who did not, and expect that to continue. So again, this isn't just a, oh wow, I've got to go and get my reputation online. This is a, if I do this, I potentially can gain a lot from it and kind of keep up to par with other colleagues and competitors who might already be ahead or have jumped in to social media already. When I talk to people who are about social media, I always focus on the several key, what I call the key underpinnings of social media success. What is good about social media? What can it offer you? If you haven't used some of these tools, what can they offer you? And these are the main four topics that I talk about. We've described a little bit about how social media can help you be found. When someone Googles you, you want them to find you. You don't want them to find something else about you or maybe somebody else who has your name. Social media helps you grow your community. It helps you meet new people and expand your network. And the greater your network, the more potential there is for you to engage with new clients, new opportunities. Social media allows you to demonstrate your expertise. And this is a big one. This is a big one. Again, you don't want to be the one who's out there. You consider yourself really smart. You know what you're offering. You have a lot to share. You possibly are even a thought leader in your field. Well, if nobody else knows it, or only the people in your firm know it, maybe on your floor, even if you have a big firm, it's not the same as all of the people who could potentially learn about you if you engage online. So demonstrating your expertise, I think, is one of the biggest reasons to use social media. Learning new information. I think that people will be surprised to find out how much information you can learn online that you might not otherwise know about. Sometimes people complain, oh, there's so much information online. Who sometimes feels like that? There's so much information online. It's like this barrage of data and information, and you're already spending a lot of time on your computer. Well, if you play your cards right on social media, you can tap into a community of people who are culling this information for you. Instead of having to spend an hour looking for what's news in your industry, you can tap into a social network or a resource online, and someone has already done that for you. Alternatively, you can become the person who does that. And who doesn't love someone who provides resources and information? I think most of us would tend to gravitate towards someone who has information for them. And so what I'm going to do for the rest of this is I'm going to talk to you about specific ways to use the big networks to accomplish these goals. So specific tips and tricks within the big networks to accomplish these goals. And I always talk about LinkedIn first. I'm not going to ask this, but I'm betting a lot of you, even those who use LinkedIn, do not have a customized URL for your LinkedIn profile. And that is right here when you go, when you go to your public profile, when you go sign into LinkedIn and you scroll down here to your public profile, yours would possibly have a series of letters and numbers. Well, you don't want that because that makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. You do know what you're doing. So you want to make sure you click edit and see if you can grab your own name or some combination of your name and your expertise there and do it as soon as you can because someone else in here might have your name and they might be doing it first. So that's something in terms of being found on LinkedIn, having a customized public profile URL is important. LinkedIn has some relatively new requirements for a complete profile. And the reason this is important is because having a complete profile on LinkedIn helps you be found. All right? And that's the number one thing here. You need to do everything. It's kind of like if you're taking a test and you know the extra credit but you don't do it, then it's kind of silly, right? Yo, you could have gotten that extra credit. So this is your extra credit on LinkedIn to have a complete profile. Though some of you might have had a complete profile in the past and now you go and you see you don't. Well, this is why. And one of the things I want to point out is here having skills listed on your profile. That's a big one that a lot of people don't have. Who here has gone and added skills in on your profile? If you use LinkedIn, okay, we need to have more people doing that. So if you sign into LinkedIn, who signs into LinkedIn at least once a week? Okay, some of you. I would suggest all of you at least check in once a week on LinkedIn. And if you do, they're really pushing for you to add skills. Definitely do that. It's really easy. You go to edit your profile, you scroll down, and there's a place that says add skills. You go ahead and you add those. So that's something that's important to incorporate in your profile. These are some other topics that you are required to have for a complete profile. And so be sure to check those out if you don't already have all of those handled. When I visited LinkedIn a couple of months ago, I met with a head of search. And my goal was to find out how I could tell people, I wanted to find out some information about how people can help themselves come up higher in search. Because let's face it, when you're searching LinkedIn, you're not going to go down to page 8. You're going to type something in, you're going to see what comes up, and it's probably, you know, page 2 or 3 unless you're really diligent, right? So your goal should always be to come up as high as possible in search when people are searching for someone like you. And what I learned is that there's kind of a complicated algorithm about being found in LinkedIn. And one thing that factors in is that when you do come up in search, LinkedIn notices how often someone who has found you will click through to your profile. So if you keep coming up in search and no one clicks through to your profile, LinkedIn is going to think, maybe that's not a good relevant result. So they push you down. On the other hand, if you come up in search and someone's always clicking through, then you come up higher in search. So your goal is to make sure when someone comes up with you in search, they click through. So that begs the question, how do you do that? And what the gentleman in charge of search at LinkedIn told me is that there are several factors. One is to have a photo. Who does not have a photo on their LinkedIn because you want to be private and you don't want people to know what you look like, or maybe you have some gray hair? Right? Or someone's going to discriminate against you because whatever reason. Well, if you don't have a profile picture, let's put it this way. If you have a profile picture, you are 7 times more likely to have someone click through. Okay? So having a picture is important. Go put yourself a nice picture, professional, of you, not you and your dog. Okay? Just you. Right? Another important piece is your headline. Your LinkedIn headline is what comes up under your name in LinkedIn. A lot of you probably have your title and maybe where you work. Well, that's not all that interesting. What you want to use that for is a pitch. What do you offer? What do you offer? Your headline in LinkedIn. You have some space there. Make it a pitch. Why should someone want to learn more about you? And finally, having shared connections is important. If you have shared connections, it shows that in the LinkedIn search. And if someone has a connection, has shared connections, they're more likely to click through to view your profile. Keywords are so important, both for job seekers and anyone who wants to help control their profile online. Keywords are nouns and phrases that people might use to search when they want to find someone like you. Who knows what their keywords are? I'm not going to call on you. Who knows what your keywords are? This is something you need to think about. I'm glad that at least one person, maybe some in the back I can't see. You need to know, what are your keywords? If someone is searching for you, what words will they use? You need to make a list. And those are the words that you need to incorporate in your profiles. Those are credentials. CFA is a keyword. Industry-related jargon, achievements, projects, job titles are keywords. Information that people will use, words they'll use to describe you when they are searching software programs. All of these are keywords, and you need to make sure that your profiles, all your profiles, in addition to LinkedIn, are full of those keywords. So here we have Jim. I don't know if anyone knows Jim, but I liked Jim's LinkedIn profile. I have underlined the keywords, and I want to remind you to incorporate those keywords and a pitch in your headline, and also incorporate those keywords in your title. Your job title, vice president, or financial advisor. Well, that's great, but there are a lot of those. So financial advisor, comma, and then use some description in there. Use some keywords that will help someone find you. Those bold sections on LinkedIn are very important. Another way so now we've talked about being found. So let's think about how to grow your community by using LinkedIn. Who here is a member of a LinkedIn group? Many of you. Who's actually using that group to do anything just to, other than to have that little icon, right? Not too many of you. Because, you know what? You don't have a ton of time. You have plenty to do already, and you do not have a heck of a lot of time to be spending on social media, especially if you're not convinced it's going to help you. So what I'd like to suggest is that when you look at groups, you make sure you're joining the right groups and that you're spending your time in the right groups. And a very neat new feature that LinkedIn has is called Check Out Insightful Statistics About This Group. So if you go to Groups, and those of you who aren't familiar, in the top toolbar, Groups, drop down to your groups, you find a group, you search a group, you use some keywords, you identify some groups. Once you're in the group, scroll down. This right here, Check Out Insightful Statistics, will be kind of down here at this bottom part of your screen. Click through to that. And when you do, you will be amazed at what LinkedIn is telling you about the group. You will learn demographics about the group, seniority level of people. Maybe you're trying to reach senior level people and you find out the group that you have been spending your time in has no senior level people or few senior level people. Maybe geographic issues are of concern. You want people who are in Nebraska and you are finding out that the group you're in has none of those people, right? So demographics. It also tells you the growth of the group, how many discussions there are. It talks to you about how many jobs are posted in the group, all kinds of great information to help you learn whether or not that group is a good use of your time. So I would like to suggest that anyone who's in a group, check that out and decide if maybe you need to find a different group, because groups are definitely a way to grow your community, and when you're engaging with the right people, then that is the way to tap into the information that you need and the resources that you need. Additionally, you might want to consider leading a group. And I talk about that in my book, Social Networking for Career Success. Sometimes that is a way to be the thought leader in your industry. How about LinkedIn Answers? Is anyone familiar with LinkedIn Answers? Does anyone even know what that is? Okay, it's because LinkedIn hides it. I'm not sure why they do that, but if you go to the top toolbar, which I have here on the screen, under More, go to the More, lots of fun stuff under More, click down to Answers. And when you click down to Answers, you will find all kinds of information. Answers is really nothing more than people asking questions. Not sure why they call it Answers instead of questions or Q&A, but that's what they've called it. And what you can do is you can find out what people are asking that requires your expertise. And in fact, if you look through the scroll through here, this says financial markets, and then it specifies a couple of more specific topics going over. So if you're interested in seeing what are people out there asking about, what are people wanting to know that is relevant to your expertise, this is a place you can do it. And you can see how it breaks it down quite a bit in terms of type of expertise. Definitely take a look at Answers. You can use this to demonstrate your expertise, but you can also use it kind of for research purposes. Maybe you're not planning to answer some questions, but maybe you're going to use this for your firm to decide what are people confused about? Are people asking the same question over and over again? So you can use it both to demonstrate your expertise and for research purposes. Another point on LinkedIn in terms of demonstrating your expertise is updating your status update in LinkedIn. Who updates your status in LinkedIn on a pretty regular basis? Some of you. Okay, well, I'm hoping once you leave here, you'll be inspired to want to do that more often. Because did you know that status updates in LinkedIn are actually searchable? And in fact, they are. And I will show you where. In the, under the News tab, in the top toolbar of LinkedIn's toolbar, you go over to News, drop down to LinkedIn Signal. LinkedIn Signal is a place where you have the opportunity to search people's status updates. Now, why would you want to do that? You might want to do that because you want to find out what are other people who you might want to connect with, what are they saying? What are they talking about? What are other people in your field who maybe have a little bit more of a digital footprint than you? What are they doing? You can search, and it's pretty neat what you can search, through, and the various categories that you can search in terms of industry, in terms of organization. You can search all kinds of useful information. So here I'm also showing a status update. Sam, I don't know if anyone knows Sam, but I liked his update. Sam's update is a link to an article that you can see here was in the New York Times, and in this article, he's making a comment about it and passing along the article to his community. That is all you need to do in a status update. We're not interested in what you're having for lunch or how long the line is at the airport or how long you've been there because it's been raining, right? What we're interested in is information that we want to know. So what you need to do is identify some information that someone wants to know and share it. And it's very easy. You just go right to your LinkedIn profile, you edit your profile, and it says, would you like to post an update? And now you'll pay attention to that. Very easy to do. And then you can search Signal and be searched via Signal. Again, in LinkedIn, a way to learn new information. And I promised to tell you about how to cull down all the noise that, you know, we all talk about that we're concerned with, right? How to break that down. LinkedIn has a really useful tool called LinkedIn Today. And again, it's under the news tab in the top toolbar. Which I show a little bit of here, News, you drop down to select LinkedIn Today. LinkedIn Today gives you an opportunity to cultivate news you want to know from a whole variety of well-respected resources. So, of course, they have, you know, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and a variety of other resources, some blogs of, you know, people who are well-respected in the field. And you can set up your LinkedIn to feed you information about financial services. So I did that here, and you can see Financial Services Today. It's showing me some of the top news. It's showing me what I might need to know. This is great information for you to go ahead and pass along in your status update. And we'll talk about some of these other tools as well. It's a useful information to pass along in other networks as well. So LinkedIn Today under News. So now let's talk about Twitter and how Twitter can be useful in terms of those four underpinnings I talked about. Here is Paul, and I'm showcasing Paul because I liked his Twitter bio. I've underlined the keywords that he's using in his Twitter bio, and that's what I want you to do. Take some of what you've incorporated in your LinkedIn profile, in your headline, and take that and replicate that in Twitter. Didn't I promise you this would be easy? You do not need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to use exactly the same words, but essentially once you've figured it out, you just do it again. So it's a great way to help yourself be found. The more keywords you have and the more information you share in there, the easier it is for people to find you. You want to grow your community, and Twitter is great for that because there are no barriers. You do not need an introduction. You do not need to know someone in order to engage with them. You can talk directly to anyone who is out there on Twitter. You can use their name, their Twitter symbol, and their name, and you can speak directly to them. These are a couple of useful tools I like that will help you find people who are in your community. My favorite is wefollow.com. Go there, add yourself, add your keywords, those keywords we talked about, add yourself so it's easy to find you. Quite honestly, it's a little hard to find people like you all in WeFollow right now, but maybe after this there will be a flood of people who are well known on Twitter. Twello.com is the Twitter yellow pages. Listorius, I found a very useful tool. If you go to listorius.com and you do some searching, you will find people who have created lists of financial professionals, and that is a great tool. Followerwonk.com helps you search Twitter bios, only the bio. So that could be a useful tool. So check all of these out to help you grow your community. Demonstrating your expertise. I promise demonstrating your expertise is one of the most important aspects of using social media. So what should you tweet? Tweet, that means just what should you say on Twitter, for those of you who aren't familiar. And again, This is similar to what you say in your status updates in LinkedIn. Not so hard. What should you tweet? Links to articles that you think people would be interested in. Have conversations with people. Someone else said something, use their Twitter name and respond. Now you're having a conversation, right? That's a great way to demonstrate your expertise. Ask and answer questions. Wonderful way to let people know what you know. And make sure you're adding value. Provide information people want to have. I'd like to compliment the CFA Institute for their social media use. They do a great job, and I use them a few times here in my presentation as an example. So here you can see the CFA Institute's Twitter stream. You can see the kind of information they're pushing out there that they want you to be on Twitter looking at. For those of you who are not familiar with Twitter, this little pound sign here, which maybe you can't see, but if you have the handout, you can see. The little pound sign is called a hashtag. And a hashtag is a way to indicate that something is related to a topic. So if you're posting a job, for example, you would put hashtag job, hashtag finance, hashtag, say, Atlanta, right? So a hashtag, that's what these little pound signs are. It's not too cryptic. It's a way to help people find you and what you're talking about. So you can actually search on Twitter for pound investing and find who else is talking about investing. That's another great way to expand your network. But here, these types of tweets, you want to think about how you can demonstrate your expertise on Twitter. I loved this quote. Here we have some information that suggests that Twitter is actually a useful indicator of investor sentiment. Who knew? I certainly did. Did any of you know that? Those of you who knew that, congratulations to you. But again, learning new information. You can learn information on Twitter and use that to be more successful. Again, the link there, you can link through when you look through the resources. Twitter has been known as the number one social network for financial groups. So again, for those of you who have not been using Twitter to demonstrate your expertise and to check out what's out there, definitely take a look. I encourage you. Now let's talk about Facebook, being found on Facebook. Who here thinks, okay, Facebook, lock it down. No one better know about what I say on Facebook because, you know what, that's my private stuff, right? And I understand why you would feel that way. However, what you want to realize is that one way you can demonstrate your expertise online is by opening up some parts of your Facebook. And those parts are your work and education, your about you, and your contact information. Fill that with the kind of stuff that you've put in your LinkedIn profile, right? Make that public. You do that via updating your information, and then you select public in the little drop-down. It's hard to see on the screen, I'm sure, but in the handouts, you'll see right there, public. You want it to highlight that. And then that information will be indexed. Another way to get some of your information via Facebook indexed is to allow subscriptions to what you update in your Facebook. Now again, this would require you to start posting public updates in Facebook. And I show you how to do that here. You do that via account settings, which I show how to do that. You go to account settings, and then you choose subscribers, and you select allow subscribers. When you do that, you can then post updates in Facebook and tab them as public updates. And then somebody who's interested in you could follow those public updates. And again, more importantly than someone following you is that those updates are indexed. And that is another way that you can easily have someone find out information that you know. Another way to grow your community in Facebook is to create a professional page. Who here has, or maybe your company has, a professional page on Facebook? Not too many. But it's a great way to kind of another place to have your footprint, your stamp online. So this is how you do that. It's not difficult, and you can create a professional presence, just you yourself, just like that. Not difficult at all. Demonstrating your expertise on Facebook is pretty easy. Now, a lot of you, if you really think about it, it's possible that many of the people who know you and are friends with you on Facebook don't really understand what you do. Who thinks that's possible? You know, some of those old high school friends, they don't know. If they were to find someone who they need to refer and you would be the perfect referral, maybe they don't know. Well, oh, Fred does that? I didn't know. So what you want to think about is on Facebook, even if you're just using it straight on, just as you always have, post things on Facebook demonstrating your expertise so people get a sense of what you have to offer. The example I'm using here is a person who's involved in the insurance industry, just because I didn't have a lot of people in my circles who are financial professionals. But you can see how Angela showcases some information that would be useful for people to know about insurance. It's not "hello, buy insurance from me." It's "this is useful information for you." And then she does that regularly so people will know what she's good at and what she knows about. Remember that statistic, 78% of people who use social media to land their job identified Facebook as the source of that referral. So don't ignore Facebook as an opportunity to demonstrate your expertise. Now let's talk about Google Plus. Who here uses a Google product? Gmail? You use Gmail? Anybody? If you use Gmail, you have a Google profile. Did you know you had a Google profile? You might not know. I'm betting you didn't take too much time or care in handling your Google profile. Even if you don't use Google Plus, although you might want to use Google Plus by the time we're done here, even if you don't use Google Plus, you want to find your Google profile and you want to update it with the same kind of information that you've used where? In LinkedIn already. So again, this is not reinventing the wheel. This is great. You can just take some of that information and you pop it right into your Google profile. Why should you do that? Because this is another stamp in your digital footprint. This is another place where you're stomping in. You're saying, here I am. This is what I know. You find me here and then come and let me, engage with maybe you want to hire me, you want to, to be my client, right? So definitely check that out. And again, remember, you have this profile if you're using a Google service at all, whether or not you know it. A reason to consider using Google Plus, and I'll tell you, Google Plus is kind of a combination of Facebook and Twitter. It's an open forum. You don't need introductions to find and follow people, but it's a way that you can engage with anybody. You don't need somebody to introduce you. So that's kind of a little bit of a background about Google+. Search plus your world is the reason to think about using Google+. And what that means is that Google has now taken information that it finds via all of the Google sites that you use, and that's your Gmail, and that's your Google+, and other Google Google tools that you use, and it uses that to help you find what it considers relevant results online when you do a search. Has anyone already seen that? When you do a Google search, it says, it's suggesting someone you know has recommended something. Okay, well, if you haven't, then you might see this soon, and people who know you potentially are seeing this. What this means is that when you're connected with people via Google+, and that person who's connected with you goes to Google and does a search using your keywords, it is more likely that you will come up as a result. And that is without you paying a single penny for Google Ads or any of that other stuff that we all used to think we needed to do, many people thought was necessary in order to build a profile online. So Search Plus Your World is really an amazing tool that when you do engage and you hop on Google Plus would be one way for you to demonstrate your expertise, to be found, to help people who you want to find you, find you. Here are a couple of places that you can find people on Google+. Google+, some people feel like it's a vast wasteland because, no one's on it or they don't feel like everyone's on it. But if you go to some of these tools, you can search the keywords of people who are like you or colleagues or contacts or maybe clients, whatever keywords that you're searching for, you could go to these tools and you can see who's out there using Google+, who you might want to be connected to. You can follow them by adding yourself to their circle and be connected to them that way. And this is a great way to grow your community, get to know new people, and help other people find you. And here's an example in terms of how to demonstrate your expertise. And again, I'm using the CFA Institute's Google+, which I recommend that you follow. And this is a link to an article that would be useful for the CFA Institute followers, right? So again, it's the same kind of thing. You're posting on Twitter, you're posting on LinkedIn, you're posting on Facebook, and you're posting on Google+. This is not all that hard, and I highly recommend you demonstrate your expertise. And when you do this, and when you make those updates public in Google+, it allows Google to index something about you and what you know. And the idea is you're constantly feeding Google information that you want it to know about you. Because let's face it, Google owns search. Whether we like it or not, right now, today, Google is the verb we use when we say search. Did you Google them? Right? We know what that means. So you want to make yourself findable. This is how to find me. These are all of the different ways that I'd like you to take a look at and find me. Hopefully you'll follow me on Twitter. If you have questions, check out my book, Social Networking for Career Success, available upstairs. And I promised a link to the resources, and this is the place, kepicareers.com/CFA, and I've provided the hyperlinks directly to the resources I've used. So definitely check that out. And then here is a little more about me. But thank you so much. I know we're going to see the folks. I also want to just mention how wonderful the CFA Institute staff have been. And you guys are very lucky to have such a great staff. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I'm looking forward to taking some of your questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We got a lot of great questions. And I've tried to group them into some order here. Let me start with kind of a big picture question. It seemed you were clearly advocating that there is a role for a professional persona for everyone in the room on at least the big three or four social networks. But we did get a question about managing personas. I have my personal life. I have my professional life. How should I present myself? I was just wondering if you could address that a little.
That's a great question. I don't know if this is working. That's a great question. Ultimately, the answer to that is that your personal and professional lives have merged quite a bit, and there is really no good way to have a distinction between one and the other. So what I like to advise people is to maintain a professional presence in general on these networks, to pay attention to privacy issues when you're using Facebook, for example. You want to refrain from posting something that you wouldn't want somebody else to see. And to consider everything you say online to be the same as a bulletin board in front of your boss's office. So unfortunately, there's not a really great answer for how to have a distinction from one to the other. And what I advise is just to maintain a really good, strong professional profile.
Great, thanks. Got a couple of really great tactical questions around social networks, in particular on LinkedIn, but I'm going to generalize the first one. How much sharing is too much? Not in terms of what we reveal about ourselves, but actually the frequency.
How often? Right. Again, some of that depends on your community, and it depends on how good the information you're sending is. There was a time when I used to tweet once an hour, and I was building my community. And you know what? No one ever complained because I was sending out good stuff. And, you know, and that's what they told me. They liked that I was sending out good stuff. I would say you want to be updating relatively frequently. Certainly on LinkedIn, you don't want to be updating every hour, but a couple times a week is a good idea. On Twitter, tweeting a few times a day is perfectly acceptable. And a few times a week, I think, in terms of a professional update on Facebook, is useful as well. But really, it's the kind of thing, it's hard to advise a whole room full of people what's the best thing. It depends on what you're doing, what your plans are, and who you're trying to attract.
How selective should we be about accepting connections on LinkedIn?
Yes, that's a big question. LinkedIn is really adamant. They only want you to pick, you know, to connect with people you know. And it's something that you can decide. I used to be very particular myself. Now I'm a little looser. For example, any of you who ask to connect with me and you say, hey, Miriam, I heard you speak, and would you be a connection? I would say yes. If you send me a message and you say, we used to work together at XYZ company, and we didn't, I probably will ignore you, right? So I am a little bit selective, and I recommend that you also be somewhat selective. But at the same time, one goal in LinkedIn is to have connections, and you never know when a particular connection could help you or could provide information for you that you need.
Got a great question here about filling out the skills section within LinkedIn. How broad or specific should we be in filling that out? And how do you really differentiate yourself without succumbing to lots of industry buzzwords? You talked about the keywords.
Right, keywords. You are required in the skills section to select 5 skills for a complete profile, and you can have up to 50. 50 is a lot, right? But a lot of people will have 50 because then you're taking as much advantage as you possibly can of the search factor that the skills provide for you. So I would say that err on the side of being overzealous and incorporate as many skills as you can. Also, it's a good idea to check out what other people are doing. This is another great thing about social media. It's this wonderful research receptacle. Say somebody has the job that you want to have. Maybe you want to have it tomorrow, but maybe it's the job you want to have in 5 years from now. Check out what they are saying. Maybe their profile can teach you how to slant your profile, and that you will then be able to incorporate the information that you might have been missing or you might have been shy about sharing.
And do you think having a presence in particular on LinkedIn is important even for very senior executives?
Absolutely. Again, a senior executive is going to meet with people, and that person is going to look on LinkedIn, and if that person finds out that that senior executive has no LinkedIn presence or a very paltry presence, or maybe no picture or, just a few details, that will probably skew the person's opinion of the senior executive. So I highly recommend a complete profile for every level.
Great. Just moving on to a bigger picture issue, you talked a little bit about the digital shadow versus the digital footprint, and we got several questions around how to handle negative comments and negativity that becomes associated with your profile. Do you have any advice on that? How should you respond? How can you manage that as
right.
an issue?
So, for example, let's say that you you find that someone has said something negative about you in a comment or on a blog post or something like that. The best thing to do is to address it. Just address it. Don't make a big deal. Don't tell all your friends to go check it out, because then that kind of gives it more ranking and gives it more value online. But always, always try to be taking preventive measures from something like that taking over, or what I say, hijacking your online presence. And when you're engaging online and when you have other things online, for example, I've written hundreds and hundreds of blog posts, I've been cited and sourced, and I tweeted up a storm and all of these things. And so likely it would be difficult for someone to take over my entire presence. Whereas if you have very little online, it's much easier. So always think in terms of preventing, and you'll be better off.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about job search outcomes. We got a question around whether the statistics are similar across Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter in terms of companies and successful job seekers finding each other. Do you find that there's any difference in the success rates across these different networks?
Right. Well, the statistics that I noted were what tools the job seekers tended to find most useful, and Facebook came out ahead in that. And then the tools that the employers are using. And again, you can look at all different research, and they're all saying different things about what tool is most important. And to a certain extent, it might depend on the company or the organization. So, for example, if you are very interested in working and you've targeted an organization that you're interested in and you see they do a whole lot on YouTube, then maybe you want to think about YouTube instead of, say, Facebook. So what you want to do is be as specific as possible in identifying what the organization would be most interested in, and then assuming that those tools would be most useful in terms of connecting for jobs.
Great. I think maybe one more question. It's kind of a big one.
Okay.
We have just under 5 minutes. What will social media look like in 5 years? Where is all this headed?
Where's my crystal ball,
yeah.
Right? As far as, being that I didn't bring my crystal ball today, I think what is important to take away is that we'll see changes in networks. When being as tapped into social media as I am, one day I'll read Google Plus is the next, best thing to slice bread, and the next minute it's these same influential people are saying Google Plus is dying, right? So even right now they're not sure what is the next thing. There will be changes. The idea is to always be riding out the changes, and if you're not in the pool, right? If you're standing on the sidelines and you're watching everyone else swim, then what those changes are and where the tide goes, you're still not going to be in there. And if the tide goes for Google Plus, like some people think it will, and it becomes the way to be found on search, and you say 5 years from now, yeah, I remember remember, who was that I listened to at that CFA Institute who said Google Plus and I never did it? Gosh, now I'm bummed out that, you know, that's the way everyone's being found, right? So we unfortunately don't know. What we do know is that the world of work is changing. And I heard a futurist who apparently does have a crystal ball talk at a recruiting conference several years ago. And he said that 10 years from then, and that's probably, say, 6 years from now, that people who are working in organizations will be salespeople and the people who are creating the product. So say, for example, the guy who's creating the iPhone will work for Apple. The one who's selling the iPhone will work for Apple. Everyone else, he suggested, will be working for themselves. They'll be contract workers. They'll be essentially hanging their own shingle. Okay? That is something I think is important to think about, and we're seeing that more and more. Again, I'm tapped into all these people who are sending out information about these topics. I see this more and more, that we're moving to a situation where people are being required to market themselves, to demonstrate their expertise, and to let people know, why should you hire me? And maybe now you're working for a firm, and you don't need to do that. You don't need to market. And aren't you lucky? That's great. But maybe 5 years from now, that will change. And all of a sudden, you'll say, wow, so much for that digital shingle that I should have hung up. Even if you're not looking for something now, having a social resume or your own profile, yourname.com, that's kind of your little safety net. It's a way to help make sure that you have a place online that belongs to you. It's not Facebook, where Facebook could change something tomorrow. They could shut it down. Who knows? We're thinking no. Or it's not LinkedIn, where, you know, maybe they decide all of a sudden they're going to charge for something that you didn't want to pay for. But again, I have no reason to believe they're going to. But you don't know. When you don't own your presence online, you don't know what might possibly happen. So I highly recommend, in response to the what's going to happen in 5 years, that people do start now, if you haven't started it, start off, and consider having your own website, and consider ways that you can demonstrate your expertise so that Google can find you, and that people who need to find you, people who need your expertise, will be able to find you.
Miriam,
great.
Thank you so much.
Copyright 2012 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.